All right, 804, time to save money on Shell gasoline. Text the word Dave to 83835 now. Save 25 cents off the second fill-up. You can stack rewards as well and save even more. Hey, Sean Salisbury is coming up in a couple of minutes. Dave Fleming of the San Francisco Giants broadcast team will join us at 8:30. A lot of passion on the text lines. Katie and I went to fisticuffs last segment over whether or not Tony Romo should have gotten in the game. Well, I say Katie and I mean, you know, all three of us actually went at it. It's just Katie and I were yelling at each other a lot. From the text line, from the 916, yes, I have a big problem with it. It's almost like a slap in the face to all the people that bust their ass at basketball for their life and don't even get a chance to step on an NBA court.
Shut up, Nate.
That's from somebody named Cider Pete.
Still bitter that they didn't win the genetic lottery.
yes. From the 916, I don't disagree with Dave much, but he's an idiot on this one. SM to the H. Thank you, Mom. From the 530, last night's Kings game was not top-level professional basketball. If you're going to allow 48 minutes of that crap, may as well allow a minute of ceremonial basketball. From the 916, Katie probably hates it when the college football teams let the sick kids score in the spring game. Are you joking? This is serious. You light his ass up. That's from the 916. And then a lot
you had
of
to take it to sick kids?
Well, I didn't. The texter did. I took it to sick kids outside with Nate off the air, but the texter helped me out.
Dave, quit texting the text line. You totally are doing this.
I gave the first three texts were on your side. Problem is, from the 408, this kind of sums it up. Problem is, teams may start signing their legends for the final game of the season. Like if the Kings were to sign Peja for the last game to hit one more three-pointer, Jay Will for one more elbow pass.
They already do that. They just don't put him on the floor.
Well, then he finishes up. He says, wait, actually, dude, that sounds good. Maybe I'm talking myself into it, as long as it's former team players, not other athletes or TV or movie people. So, listen, there's a split. I do think there's something there. Like, Katie, I told Nate, I didn't want to go here, so I'm going to go here. Here's another example. Would it make you feel differently if instead of Tony Romo, who is good-looking, rich, and a natural athlete, has a great life?
Oh, God.
What if it was like the kid we talked about yesterday, the kid that Steph Curry befriended, 8 years old, been fighting leukemia? What if the NBA or other sports did something like kind of like they do in college where the kid
do it during a preseason game?
The kid could be on the final game that's meaningless. The kid could be the NBA player for the day, do everything Romo did, and then he comes into the last 30 seconds to a standing ovation, and then he dribbles down the floor, and one of the guys lifts him up and he dunks the ball, and everybody freaks out and cheers, and then the season ends. I mean, what are we losing? I know that's an extreme and it's a dirty play I'm making right now, but what are we losing?
Well, do you even need to take it that
no,
far?
No, I mean, you
the
don't.
Way, the way I would look at it, because I don't think that's an unfair point, but there is a bit of an apples to apples thing going on there. What I would always ask is it hurting anybody and does it make people feel good? If it's not hurting anyone and it's making someone feel good, then what difference does it make?
I mean, the point was the point that I thought Katie made that was a very salient point. You made it too. Is that
capitalism would ruin this in a heartbeat?
Right. When we get into an issue where you know the new CBS sitcom on set, where Sheldon from Big Bang Theory is coming in the final minute wearing a jersey that says 8:30 Pacific on the back.
Well, I mean, do you remember how irritating it was when Dwight Howard and Nate Robinson made a mockery out of the dunk contest of all the stupid things? That's a dunk contest. It doesn't even count.
Sean Salisbury joins us usually on Mondays, but man, this guy, I love it. His career is taking off. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he finds time to do our dumb show. I know he does other dumb shows. And then he has like his own. I think he actually hosts 17 different shows right now. And they're all badass, including my favorite, which is the podcast he does with his son, Dylan. Sean Salisbury joining us right now. Sean, tell me honestly, I know you're going to be fair and not call our show dumb, but you got to be having a blast doing a podcast with your kid.
I do. You know, you mentioned in none of the shows I go on are dumb. You guys all, it's always great to get different perspective from different cities and different topics. So, you know, I'll do about 25 of those a week. But between my ESPN show and our new Sean Salisbury show that airs next week on national television, and then doing it with my son, which is a great joy. Truth is, my son could stop being a chef and opening restaurants and do this and be damn good at it because – he's extremely opinionated and smart and loves it. But we have a blast because we have a lot of laughs. And you know, hell, who doesn't want to work with their kids? So, yeah, I'm pretty blessed, man. But I know the alternative of not having anything to go to for a minute. So I'm never going to turn down hard work. This, in truth, there's a lot of people that are working a lot harder for a lot less. So never take it for granted, man. It's what we do. It's fun. So thank you.
Let me bring you into the knockdown, dragout argument we're having right now. Now, you're down in Texas, a little south of where Tony Romo was a Mav for a day. Now, you are a former professional athlete. Our partner, Katie Christensen, a former professional athlete. Nate and I are a couple of schlubs. So that might factor in here, Sean. When I look at Tony Romo, the NBA and Adam Silver did not allow Mark Cuban. They were going to put him in at the end. The NBA said, yeah, we're not going to honor the contract. We can't do it. So Nate and I were talking about, hey, you know what? Why not? Game that means nothing. Who cares? Let a guy like Tony Romo go in and put up a shot in the last 30 seconds. And Katie says, listen, this is professional freaking sports. It's not an amateur hour. You don't do this. Save that crap for the preseason. Which side would you fall on that?
Are they going to let Dirk, when his career is over, go run a route for the Cowboys?
Thank you. That is exactly what I said.
Okay. Sure.
I think it's a damn embarrassment. Now, I don't mind.
Thank you.
Good story. This is, first of all, and I'm a Romo fan. I've criticized it, but I've also applauded how he's overcome adversity in his career. We didn't do this for McNabb or Vinny Testaverde, who had just as good. I think Testaverde had an 18, 19-year career through for 40,000-plus yards. He may not have a Super Bowl ring. He has a Heisman Trophy. Why do we do this for him?
Yeah.
Because of social media, because of the love. And like I said, it's not. I'm all for it. Mark Cuban, you know, they did it for Mike Madonna and for Anthem. They like not the game, but some kind of celebration. I would have a problem him walking out, giving a speech, waving. You know, like when Elway came out, go, let's get ready to Mutombo when they were in the playoffs when John was playing. I don't have a problem with the feel good story, but the truth of the matter is, and I know Dallas loves him. If people love Tony. Because he, you know, didn't quite win the championship. He's a likable guy and a good guy, and like, oh, what a bummer he lost his job. But other than that, we're celebrating, and this celebration never ends. We're celebrating him more than we did Farmer Manning when they retired, and it's crazy. And no, it's a damn. If you're the 12th man on the bench who doesn't get off the bench, you think it's. I mean, don't you feel like a little bit like this? Are they going to invite him to go? Like I said, Dirk. Or are they going to invite? They didn't invite Jason Kidd when he was here. Is Rick Carlisle going to go run it? Take a handoff and put him in a game? Or are we going to let him call a play? I think it's blasphemous, to be honest. I think it's embarrassing. And what Adam Silver did do was the right thing to do. I don't mind him being on the bench and going through layup lines. I think it's kind of funny and it's cool and the fans get to feel good. The truth is he should have done that and they should have taken him off the bench and he should have stopped. Did he stay on the bench the whole game? I don't even remember.
Yeah, he was on the bench right next to Cuban.
Yeah, the whole game. The truth of the matter is they should have gone through pregame warm-up and he should have gone back up in the stands and sat down. Or stick him on the end of the bench in street clothes. Like I said, I'm not one of those bah humbug, oh, that's your old school. It has nothing to do with old school. It has everything to do with, I just say the opposite. Okay, in my career, the Minnesota Twins didn't let Rich Gannon or Minnesota Twins didn't let Fran Tarkin to go field ground balls at shortstop their World Series season. So why the hell? Because he doesn't have five chances. Even if it was Troy Aikman, even if it was Emmitt Smith, no, not him either. You know, they don't deserve to go out there and play in an NBA game. It may not mean anything to us because they're not going anywhere. It does mean something to the dude who's going to go pick up a paycheck that's the 12th man on the bench. So, yeah, I think this overzealous celebration, while it's good for a minute, I mean, we're, this national story, it's the story that keeps on giving, and it's great, but what are we celebrating? Tony's still got football left. If he still wants to play, take the ass out there and play. He's going to be a broadcaster. He's going good. I mean, it's a feel-good, but we usually celebrate guys like this that are five-time champions that broke the color barrier. I'm serious. I'm trying to figure out, and I'm a Tony. This comes from a Romo fan. I mean, at some point, doesn't Tony got to say, guys, enough, man. Enough. I ain't going out there. Tony should, when they brought it up, should have said no. Yeah, you were good high school basketball. Hell, I was a good high school basketball player, and I didn't have near the career Tony Romo. I would have loved to have gone out and taken a jump shot when Kevin Garnett and Steph Marbury were in Minnesota and I was playing. Yeah, that would have been great. But that would have been humiliating, too, because you just don't do that to the 12 guys that are on the big. Was the Major League Baseball All-Star game this past year? We didn't send out the best quarterback on that town to go out. And batting practice is fine, but we didn't let him play left field in inning eight, did we? So why the hell that All-Star game no longer means squat? You don't even get home field advantage anymore. So for me, I'm with Katie. I while I like to feel good warm up and fun, and I'm all for congratulating the guy on one hell of a career, but he was a really, really good player. Great players wear rings like everybody else does, and he's a good player that came up short. He's not even the best player. He wasn't even one of the five best players in his position in his era, and we're still celebrating. I love what Cuban did to put him out there. Damn right Adam Silver shouldn't have let him run out in the game. That's the smart thing to do. That would have been an embarrassment for the NBA, even though Tony's a good athlete.
Sean Salisbury and his brilliance, and I'm not just saying that because he agrees with me, but I am saying that because he agrees with me. Joining us this morning on The Drive, I want to kind of stick to football, but football that matters. Obviously, reports coming out that the Browns potentially interested in taking Mitchell Trubisky with the number one pick in the draft. Is it just us? Because we talked about it earlier. All of us thought this was crazy talk. Your thoughts?
You know what? And I look at it and say, wow. But, guys, here's one thing, and I try to preach this on my show all the time. We're passionate about it, is if a team loves the guy at quarterback, just because we may think it's wrong, draft him. And I have under the – and I'll go back. I'm under the – if I'm ever a general manager in this league, I'm drafting a quarterback in some round every year. Every year. Seventh round, fifth round, first round. Every year – there's a draft pick. I'm taking a quarterback in some round every year. I don't care if the third rounder's feelings are hurt. I don't care if the starter's feelings are hurt. Every year I'm taking a quarterback in some round in hopes that he turns out to be Brady, Russell Wilson, or maybe the fifth rounder. Every year we take linebackers every year. We take receivers every year. Yet the most important position in the world in sports and the toughest to play, if we're lucky, we draft one a year. If you're lucky, a team will draft 12 guys in this draft.
But don't you think he's going to be there later?
Yes. I don't know. I don't. And neither do they. There's talk that the Bears want him. There's this. But here's what I don't understand. Why would you? Let's say Hugh Jackson and the Cleveland Browns love Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, love him. I'm so tired of hearing, and I love Mel and Todd McShane, and the draft analysts tell me it's a value pick. Screw your value. Don't you guys think the Cleveland Browns or the Washington Redskins or the 49ers study every single aspect, or they should, of the quarterback? I study it ad nauseum. Current players, former players, I mean, all of it. If you love the guy, why risk? What if somebody loves him more? Let me tell you how much smokescreen there is. I mean, I've covered this draft many a times, four teams. I can remember being in Indianapolis, and they love Champ, they love Champ, they love Bill Polian told me, love Champ, they love Champ, and Bill and I are friends. They turn around, I think they drafted Edger and James that year. And so they'll send stuff out all the time. Could be a smokescreen, but you're in the one hole. You don't have to send out a smokescreen. You get your choice. But let me ask you this, another thing about this, Katie, and guys, is J.J. Watt, best defense player in the league last 5 years, correct?
Yes.
You'd say, okay, didn't they go 2-14 with him 1 year?
Yes.
You can go 2-14 with mine. I love Miles. I got the Browns taking Myles Garrett, too. I think he's the best. If it's not a quarterback, draft a disruptor. The guys closest to the line of scrimmage make the most impact because they're around the ball. But you can go 2-14 with Khalil Mack. You can go 2-14 with Von Miller. You ain't ever going 2-14 with a quarterback you think's a franchise quarterback. So if you think he's a franchise quarterback, why not say, well, we may get him at 12, but what if you don't? And then you have to settle for your third guy. The Browns haven't had a quarterback worth a hoot since Bernie Kosar. So, but if they've watched him and they say, now they may miss on him, then draft one next year or the year after. They may. But if you love him that much and you wonder, who cares if he's available at 9 or 12 when you pick again? You don't know. If you think he's worth it, the quarterback's always the most important position. You can't have ifs by his game. Now, while we say one season, he's only played one season. Why couldn't he do this? Why couldn't we do that? These guys, it's like me going to a scientist or an orthopedic surgeon saying, I've had four knee surgeries. Damn, I know what goes on in my knee more than you do. And him saying, no, Sean, I'm actually an orthopedic surgeon that graduated from Johns Hopkins. I think I know a little bit more about the knee than you do, even though you've had the surgery. So we all think we know about Trubisky, and I like him. I think he's at the top 15, top 10 pick. I don't think anybody's worthy of the first pick in this draft as a quarterback. But if you like him, what's worthy? If you think he's a franchise guy, you draft him. Screw the guy. Now, if they drafted him first and he was available in the fifth, now we got a problem. But if you liked him first and he went ninth, you don't have the ninth pick. You got the 12th pick in the first round as well. So my philosophy is, if you love a player, I don't give a rat's ass what Todd McShay or Mel Kiper said. That's why they got a coat and tie on and aren't sitting in my front office. Because I know more than they do as a front office guy, or at least I should if I'm the head of the Browns. So if you like him, then draft his ass and go. Heck, I've never seen so much, from one about quarterbacks and players. Jonathan Allen was the first pick of this draft 4 months ago. Like I saw one today, he's the 20th pick. Mitch Trubisky has the first pick possible, and I saw another one that has him going 25th to the Texans. You got Deshaun Kizer is Mike Mayock's top quarterback. Some got him going in the second round. So it's opinion. If you love a guy, draft him, period. And it doesn't matter what the other team thinks. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter, because you're the ones who got to live with it. And if you screw it up, then you rob Peter, you got to pay Paul. But if you think Trubisky changes your franchise immediately more than Myles Garrett, then you draft him and you don't bat an eye. If you can get him third and somebody wants him first, yeah, trade down and get another second-round pick or another first round. I get that. But if you love him, why wait? That's the way I've always said it. Why wait? And if the Browns drafted him, then they loved him. Trust me.
Sean, do teams get too hung up looking for the perfect quarterback? And I mean that in terms of, all right, we've talked about Tony Romo. We know how prolific he was statistically. Then, you think of a guy, the perfect dude, a Manning or a Brady or an Aaron Rodgers or something like that. And then you think of kind of like that third tier of dudes out there that, and I'll use Colin Kaepernick as an example just because those are three completely different quarterbacks on three different tiers, but all three of them have shown that they can win regular season games to varying degrees if you have them in the right situation. So do teams get too hung up thinking, hey, we've either got to have a Manning and Brady or nothing, when they could possibly, Mitch Trubisky doesn't have to be Tom Brady in order to win games if you do it right?
I got news for you. Mitch Trubisky's got as much chance of being Tom Brady as I do walking on water and parting the Red Sea. Okay? Now, so then by saying that means, think about it, guys. If you're comparing your quarterbacks, I got to be Brady. How many Super? Dude's been to seven Super Bowls. Yeah. How many guys have done that in their career? Guess how many? One. One. So if you're the Cleveland Browns, you're saying, I want him to be Tom Brady, then you'd hope he turned out somewhere that turns out to be a good player. Yeah, you're exactly right there. Think how many guys have won the Super Bowl in the last decade. Well, who are we splitting against? Brady, Manning, Russ Wilson and Ben Roethlisberger and Joe. I mean, there's about, four or five have won the last 12 or whatever it is. Guys, this position is so hard to judge. Yeah, you hope there's a sixth-round Brady guy, the 199th pick. But you're so right about that. You look for perfection. First of all, I've never met a sport that talks themselves out of a player more between January and April than the NFL.
Yeah.
We don't talk ourselves into why a player's great. We talk ourselves out of a player being good and can help me win. Most quarterbacks are average when it comes to wins and losses in their career. The good ones win, 9 games, 10 games, get to a playoff, maybe win a Super Bowl if you're lucky, and the great ones may win one, and even some great ones, Fouts, Marino, don't win any. And yet their careers are spectacular. Yes, you are exactly right. We would love to find Rodgers. We'd love to find – nobody thought Rodgers would. Rodgers, he was a great first-round pick. Nobody thought Brady. Nobody thought Wilson. Nobody thought Romo. The Aikmans of the world that go to a great team, that go and build a great team, and the Elways of the world, guys, they Peyton Manning's got, two Super Bowl wins? Special. Those guys are different. That's like saying I got Willie Mays or Barry Bonds when I drafted Roger Clemens. Most of the guys are, I drafted Rick Porcello. He won a Cy Young, but the rest of his career he didn't. That's the way it is. Those guys just don't fall off a turnip truck and land the league. Yes. If Mitch Trubisky has a Philip Rivers career, is that not a successful career? You'd love a Super Bowl, but we do. We want everybody to be Brady, Rodgers, Favre, and we're naming these Hall of Famers, but we go through them. But most of the guys, a great majority of the guys, aren't those guys. They're a guy you say, man, yeah, he was a good pick, had a good career. Man, we got to a Super Bowl. Most of the guys, if you're Joe Flacco, you've had a pretty damn awesome career. You won a Super Bowl. You got paid. Your team hovers around the playoffs. Those other guys, there's not many of them, fellas. There just isn't, and ladies. There's just not many of them. But I got news for you. If you find one, you're lucky. So if you love them, go for it. If not, it's such a crapshoot at this position because you can't judge at any point in time what kind of stones a guy has in the fourth quarter of an NFL game until you run his ass out there. Hence, how we know about Tom Brady, and you guys, all three of us, you guys know, and me, know that Tom Brady's probably not done winning or going to Super Bowls, which is nothing short of phenomenal.
It's a Twitter bio that will make you absolutely feel lazy. Sean Salisbury, former USC and NFL quarterback, host of the Sean Salisbury Show, 1 to 5 Pacific on SB Nation Radio, host of Unfiltered on ESPN 975. And if you're looking for quarterback training for your kids, SeanSalisbury12@gmail.com. Like I said, that's just not a lazy person right there. Sean, we love you, and we always appreciate your time, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Most quarterbacks in the world are like me. Wish we had better careers. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Sean.
That's Sean Salisbury. Will step aside. Dave Fleming of the San Francisco Giants coming up next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, 8:32, time to save money on Shell gasoline. Text the word Dave to 83835 now. Save 25 cents off your second fill-up. And speaking of Dave's, I'm Dave. That's Katie in L.A. right now. And Nate Goodyear across from me and another Dave, a much more accomplished Dave, joining us right now. He is a broadcaster for the San Francisco Giants. And, oh, so much more. One of the busiest schedules you'll ever see from an announcer. And I know he loves every minute of it. Joining us right now, Dave Fleming of the Giants. Dave, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you.
Are you back in the swing yet? Does that happen before game one, or does it take you a couple weeks?
I think once you get through, I've always thought, once you get through all of the opening days, then you're in the swing of the baseball season. And this year, I happen to have four of them. My schedule, as you mentioned, is a little busy, so the Giants were part of three in Arizona, in San Diego, and, of course, our home opener here. And then I snuck in the Dodgers home opener for ESPN. So once you get through opening days, yeah, I feel like the season just sort of feels normal again. All the ceremony out of the way and kind of the unusual timing and games at different times. You know, part of baseball and the rhythm of the season is the days of the week sort of dictate what time of day you play and when you travel and all that stuff. And it becomes so much, all of us become slaves to the schedule and really such unbelievable creatures of habit that when you're out of that sort of normalcy, it does feel unusual. So now I would say the last couple of days feels like sort of the regular baseball season. I'm thrilled that it's back. I love it.
Dave Fleming, Giants announcer, joining us right here on KHDK. Bring it right in to a debate we were having yesterday. And this is one of those impossible, goofy sports talk radio questions. But you're around the team a heck of a lot more than we are. Madison Bumgarner or Buster Posey, who is more important to the success of the Giants?
That is an impossible question.
It was for us, too.
I would say Buster just because, I mean, the Giants, I'm not saying they could survive without Bumgarner. I think they clearly would be a lesser team. But Posey has become so clearly the best at his position in the game. And, now he's sort of just the all-around catcher, does it on both sides of the ball. And I do think the Giants have such an advantage over every game that they go into with Buster. They have an edge over the team they're playing. And every fifth day, they almost always have that with Bumgarner. But, it is hard for a pitcher. You got to be at such an incredible level to carry the value of a superstar position player just with the nature of the sport. That you're making me make a tough choice.
Right.
Posey is underrated. Let me just say that. Underrated overall big picture because of the value of having somebody like him at that position. You know, maybe if he were a first baseman or a third baseman, it would be more of a debate. But at catcher, just the most critical position, how good he is, I'm going to say Buster.
Dave Fleming with us on KHTK radio play-by-play for the Giants. What, early in the season, but there have been some struggles, Dave. I mean, 3-6 now. Arizona's been a bit of a bugaboo. Is it still just the bullpen that's the big weakness, or what has kind of been the struggle early on for the slow start?
Yeah, it's weird. It seems to me like things aren't synced up very well. You know, one thing's going well every day, and then something else is going wrong to derail it. It's been a funny start to the year. I do think you're right. Arizona, San Diego, we haven't seen Colorado in person, but I think, watching them a couple times on TV, and we'll see them here tomorrow. Those teams are better than I thought they were. Mm-hmm. This division is going to be tougher than I thought it would be. And that applies to the Dodgers, too. You know, so that's not just a Giants problem. That's a problem for everybody in the National League West. But they have surprised me by being better initially than I thought they were going to be. So that's one thing. Playing at Chase Field is just weird. I mean, it really almost is forced.
Yeah.
The ball's flying. The infield's so hard, you might as well go out on the tarmac at Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport and take ground balls there. I mean, it's like, it's such an unusual environment. It's so different from the Giants' home environment. Not that you got to play 10 times there during the year, so you can't just throw those games out, but in terms of trying to evaluate your team, I don't know how much you can take from those first four games. But the bullpen is a problem. And, there are a couple spots on the diamond that are a problem. They're trying to get some production from left field and having a hard time doing it, and center field and having a hard time doing it. So those are things to be concerned about. But I still think that for a team that's 3-6, I feel like there's way more good than bad, but the bad has cropped up at some inopportune times. The Giants should be, 6-3, I think, at minimum. I mean, they have given away some of these games, which hurts, but I think long term they're going to be okay.
You mentioned left field too. You know, that's been a kind of a rotating door of guys. Why is it that Angel Pagan doesn't seem to be getting any love? I mean, it seems like a natural fit. The guy, I know that he struggled last year, Dave. He's got his shortcomings too, but it seems like there's been enough of a hole there that at least you would, give the guy a look.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's a little weird. I feel like across the industry, across baseball, if something unusual is going on with Pagan, and I would be ticked off if I were him. Now, part of it is his own doing because he and the agent have set a price or, whatever it is, and saying, we're not coming in for lower than this. And so he's not been willing to bend at all on his demand for a contract, whereas even players, just to take a couple Giants examples, Aaron Hill and Nick Hundley, I mean, those are longtime big league players with a nice track record who are willing to come to the Giants basically on minor league deals and earn a spot on the team. And Pagan has very clearly stated he is not willing and was not willing to do that during spring training. So that's part of why he still doesn't have a job. As far as it goes with the Giants, I mean, there is a need right now, but I do think that at the end of last year, everybody just kind of agreed we're going in a different direction. And when you declare that, when you say that to everybody, hey, we enjoyed you here. You helped us win a couple World Series, but it's time to move on. I think it's hard to kind of reconcile that. And I don't know that there were some strong, hard feelings about it, but I think the Giants have just sort of decided, and maybe they're being stubborn about it, but hey, you know what? We said we were done with him. Goodbye. Great to have you. Thanks for the service. And I don't think they're willing to go back on that.
Dave, every season there's some key signings, obviously, pitching, whatever, but there's always a player or two that maybe fly a little bit under the radar that people don't understand during the offseason how important they might end up being during the season. Anybody stick out to you this early in the season as someone that might be for this team?
Yeah, good question. I think Nick Hundley right away would jump out, especially with Posey now with the concussion on the DL. They're going to lean hard on Hundley here for a week, and he's going to play a lot this year. And it's not like he's a superstar, but he is a pro's pro, and he's been around for a while, and he's been a good player for a while. And I like Trevor Brown. I think Trevor Brown did a good job last year for the Giants, but Hundley is a better offensive player than Trevor Brown, and I think he's as equal defensively. And so for some extra at-bats, I think he's going to help this team be a better team. So, to me, of the under-the-radar, that's a depth move that didn't make any waves in the offseason. Mm-hmm. But I do think, one strength of this Giants team the last 5-7 years, however you want to define it, they have really done a good job of, even if they don't have a star at every position, the Giants have avoided having a zero at any position. Like, they have really avoided the spots around the diamond or on the staff that suck value out of your team, that cost you games. And that's where it kind of stings right now, in that they're not getting anything from one or two spots. That's what they've been good at avoiding, and that's where they have to get, you know, they got to find some left field production. And really, I mean, Span's been banged up. They got to get some production in center field too. Those two spots have really hurt them. And that's unusual because they've done a good job the last few years of avoiding that.
Dave Fleming, part of the phenomenal broadcast crew for the San Francisco Giants, joining us right now on KHDK. And I say phenomenal broadcast crew, that's not just because I'm a Giants fan. You guys are regularly rated at or near the top when it comes to Major League Baseball. And
mostly because you're a Giants fan, though.
Listen, I'm biased, don't get me wrong. That's fine, but I'm not apologizing for it.
I mean, we love our fans, and it's nice of you to say that. But I think Cardinals fans say the same thing about their guys.
Yeah, well, you know.
Dodgers fans say the
well, they're
same
just
thing.
Wrong, Dave.
Yeah, they're wrong.
They're just
Dave.
Wrong, Dave.
Well, everybody, nobody's perfect, right?
Here's the thing.
Hold on. I mean, yeah. We all agree on the one thing that Joe Buck hates our teams, right?
Right. So. That's the narrative. Dave, when we see you guys, and my favorite part of the broadcast is after the game. And I don't know if that's what you enjoy the most or not, but when it's you and Krug and Kipe and John. Just if you don't have mugs of beer hidden behind the copy machine, it sure seems like that type of environment of the entire day. Is that something, as a kid who grew up listening to Oriole games and John Miller, is that something that you still don't take for granted?
Yeah, we love it. You know, funny story. We've done this rap for years and years and years, a couple decades now, I guess. And so, I mean, go back. I don't know how long it's been that we've televised. You know, we put it on TV in the last, I don't know, 8 years, something like that. And so, you know, when they proposed that idea, we were all like, really? We're going to put this on TV? Just the four of us standing around staring at each other. But, you know, they pitched it to us like, oh, well, don't worry. It's just relaxed. Do it just like you always have. Pretend it's not a TV show. And so I think it was the very first one we did that was televised. I think it was Mike had a beer in his hand. I mean, we're just doing it. We're just relaxed. We're pretending it's not a TV show. No, we got the phone call right away. Well, we didn't totally mean just do it like there wasn't any TV camera there. So it's not exactly maybe as natural as it could be when it's televised. In a funny way, we almost enjoy the ones on the road that aren't on TV more.
Sure.
Because truly we are. I'm not going to say we're all sitting around picking our noses, but we're, you know, I mean, those cameras being in there, we kind of jam into that corner in the home booth. On the road, we're just sort of spread out eating popcorn and peanuts and talking about the game, and it is fun. That's one thing about the four of us. We've been together a long time now, and we actually do. We're not pretending. We do like each other, which makes coming to work a lot better.
He celebrated his 40th birthday this year, and, man, it makes me feel like a loser because he's younger than me, and look at this guy's career. It's phenomenal and still a long way from being over. Dave, we always appreciate you coming on with us.
I hope I got a ways to go.
Yeah, I think so.
It is amazing, 14 years with the Giants. 14.
Man.
Well, I hope we get you later this year. It's going to be a long season. We always, always appreciate your time, Dave.
Yeah, anytime.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that is Dave Fleming of the Giants. We're late for a break. Always fun talking to him, and we'll check in, A's fans. You'll be represented. We'll check in with Ken Korak tomorrow and bring him on. Well, of course, we'll be talking to Ken throughout the year as well, and we'll check in on the A's, who have a better record than the San Francisco.
They sure do.
Let's be honest. They are, right now, it is a factual statement to say that the A's are a better team than the Giants. They're better. Hurts me, but it's true. We'll take a break, come back, rebrew next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Welcome into the Rebrew. Before we get started with the Rebrew, though, and before we get our word from McDonald's, let's take the 11th caller at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, giving you admission. You and a friend, as a matter of fact. We'll even take care of the friend to go see Grant and Doug and Garrett Temple. Yeah. That's tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow at 2:30.
Wow. You know what? That's a really busy day.
Good for Garrett.
That's a busy day because the Kings have their, media day, like the end of the season media. They're going to start exit interviews. Garrett's going to be, you know what? He's a good guy. You guys want to come see that?
Well, he's gonna have his exit interview, and then with Grant and Doug.
Did you guys know that Garrett Temple has the most guaranteed money on the table of any player on the Kings roster?
That's actually a really good nugget. I didn't know that. I would not have guessed Garrett Temple. Well, then who feels sorry for him? He's rich. He's coming in tomorrow. And I kind of want to come.
You know,
him.
In this season, Garrett's made more money in this season than he has in his entire NBA
career. Good for him. You know what?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. He earned every freaking penny as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
We're going to have our exit interview with Darren Collison tomorrow at 8:30. We will we'll talk to him.
Why are you laughing?
Thinking, I mean, the Kings, they shouldn't have to pay taxes on that charitable contribution, right?
To what?
They gave Garrett Temple more money than he's ever made in his whole NBA career.
Yes.
Yeah. And like you said, he earned it being on this roster.
Yeah, great
point.
Like
the Kings should get a tax exemption for that.
You're
That's
horrible.
A compliment to Garrett Temple is what he's saying.
I think Garrett should be earning two paychecks, one as a player and one as a coach, because he is absolutely doing both. And like,
I'm glad you brought up Coach, because Coach Yeager will be joining us, if not next week, the week after. He's going to come on and again do more of our exit interviews.
We'll be
performing them from earlier today.
That'd be hilarious.
On the Rebrew, brought to you by McDonald's, as a matter of fact, Nate.
Indeed. New McCafe macchiatos, cappuccinos, or Americanos at McDonald's right now. Price of participation may vary for a limited time.
All right. Let's see.
You know, this is like my least favorite part of the show. Every day I get anxiety at this moment.
Well, and you're
what stupid thing
stupid
did I do?
Well, this first one, I think, is...
I love you too, Nate.
I think this is me-centric, because this is about the last time the Kings made the playoffs. That's how we ended it, Matt. Jeez. Not with George Papianis being 8 years old. We ended with the pooping game. And then Nate went outside and showed me the best snake ever. Game, video.
It ate itself.
Right, I know that's not true.
Let's move on. Rebrew.
I don't even have to be there, and I know that's not true. I know you too.
Rebrew number two. And Katie, if you thought you escaped.
I know I don't.
You didn't. I don't know what this is. This just says Katie's bad analogy.
Oh.
Well.
That's what happens when you come into a commercial halfway through it because you didn't realize that you were doing it. Yeah.
No, I just want to.
There's no excuse.
I want to. Let's end the show like this, because I want to provide an example, Katie, of how you should be versus how you are. Now, you'll remember earlier we got into an argument where I was pretty much right, according to the fans, and you said, and I quote, "Don't care what you say, I'm not changing your mind." And that's an ego thing. Now, let me show you exactly what it looks like to take ego away, because we could have gotten out of the show, nobody would have known. The reason you weren't ready for the Mattress Firm spot is because I screwed it up and nobody caught it. That was supposed to be a NorCal spot. I did it early. Nobody caught it.
Way to go.
Nobody caught that I screwed up, and that's why Katie wasn't there. So here I am at the end, availing myself.
I lost my mind.
Because you know what? Here's all you got to do. I was wrong. Oops. And I'll do better next time. That's all. That's it. See what I did there? I took the blame.
Okay.
I took the blame.
Okay, Dave.
I stood tall.
Wow, I can't come home tomorrow. I can't wait to come home tomorrow.
Ah, we love
you. Be in the studio with you, Tool.
Damn right.
Dang.
No.
For Matt George.
This is horrible.
For Katie Gershenson. I can't. For Katie
Gershenson. You're horrible.
Dave. We all got fired from American Idol. We're all going home. Show the montage of our families. We'll see you tomorrow. Jim Rome is next. Check the lowdown noon to 3. Grant and Deb, 3 to 7. It is Sports 1140 KHDK. Take it away, Daniel Powder.